Before the show starts, we're going to have a quick word from our sponsor. We've partnered with CoinBeast Media to bring you guys top quality educational Bitcoin content. They have Bitcoiners who are experts in certain areas of Bitcoin called pros who will be presenting on our show over the course of the next couple months. So make sure you guys tune in every single Wednesday to make sure you don't miss them. You can also connect with their pros one-on-one to get a personalized lesson in a certain area of Bitcoin to help walk you through any and all of your questions. They also have wonderfully written articles on their website that are jam-packed full of information, so make sure to check out their website at coinbeast.com. Their vision is very in line with ours, so we're beyond excited to be collaborating with them to bring all of you guys good quality Bitcoin content. So without further ado, let's get into
All right, class. Welcome back to another episode. This is Optimus Fields at My Living Truth, and we're at block height 681,038, and the current price for one Bitcoin is $54,645. Nick, introduce our guests.
Yo, what's up? It's Nick here, and our guest today is our boy Nate. At Beef4Bacon1 on Twitter. He's going to be joining in on our little series from pros from CoinBeast, and he's going to be going over running a Lightning node, the simple tips and tricks about it, and just, you know, really good information all about it. So I'm really excited for this one. So Nate, take it away. Thanks for coming on.
Hey Nick and Optimus, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here, and I'm really excited to talk a little bit about starting a pleb Lightning node, and the reason why I think this is important is because I kind of realized that, you know, a lot of people are starting to run their Mynodes and their Umbrals and their Embassies, and those all come with LND, but kind of getting started with choosing your first channels and everything is it's kind of mystifying and a little bit overwhelming. So I'm hoping to help give everyone some ideas maybe. And you know, none of it is really set in stone. There's tons and tons of opinions and ways to go about it, but I'm hoping to just kind of demystify a little bit of the process that I've used. And just a little bit about me. I'm definitely a pleb. And I'm just a Lightning enthusiast. I'm not a dev or a programmer. You know, this is all kind of like my opinion. But I've been tinkering around with Lightning stuff since the bear market of 2018. And I'm just a normie guy. But man, I love Lightning. And every morning I wake up, I'm like, crap, this stuff actually exists, and it's just really exciting. So I'm excited to talk about it a little bit with you guys. And so in this sort of scenario, we're just kind of we kind of have to develop, you know, what our goals are going to be. And when Lightning Pool came out back in November, that was like a shock even to me and a lot of people, that wow, we actually can effectively sell our capital in the form of a Lightning channel to people and give them liquidity to receive payments. And that's really cool, because, you know, we're already opening up channels with people. And to have that sort of extra layer of demand to actually pay, you know, to actually get paid to open up a node with somebody was really, really exciting. But a lot of people realized, well, you know, I have this node on my Mynode or my Umbral, but I don't have any channel set up. So the thing about Pool is, you know, you have to sort of be established, right? So we're trying to see if get our node sort of established with, you know, as little capital as possible, but you still need some capital to start up. But our long-term goal really is we really want to have about 20 channels. That's going to take a few months. I'll get into like the first 30 days here, but I wanted to talk about the long-term goals first, just to have a sort of overview of sort of the process. Now, when you open up channels, you have it all on all your, you know, all your channels are on your local side. And I'll be going into some visual stuff here in a little bit, but one of the biggest challenges when you're starting a node is getting funds on the remote or the inbound side of your channels, or getting people to open up channels with you, because that's going to be extremely important for routing other people's channels, because that requires at least some remote in a channel and some local in a channel, because you're receiving and then sending. That's what a forward or a route is doing. So that's one of the big challenges. We're going to be talking about how to get some remote liquidity also, and achieve what's called tier one status as far as Lightning Labs, because Lightning Labs is kind of watching everything, because the Lightning Network, even though it has some privacy features, is also very, very public. So, but we're going to be talking about, you know, the first few weeks. So our goals for the first 30 days, we kind of want to open up 7 to 10 channels. And before we do that, we kind of want to think about how much capital are we willing to start with? An example that I like to think of is, let's say I've got 20 million sats and I want to open up 10, 2 million sat channels. That might be a good start for people. You know, everyone's got a little bit of different capital and risk profile and that sort of thing. You know, a little thing about, you know, channel size, the bigger the better at the end of the day, depending on how much capital you have. The sweet spot, it seems, is between 4 to 10 million, and that's a lot, and especially with this current price. A few weekends ago, Alex Bosworth was at a Q&A, and he's one of the lead guys at Lightning Labs, and was asked, hey, you know, for a new routing node, what do you think is the minimum channel size? And channel size is local plus remote, right? So a 2 million on your side, 2 million on their side, that's a 4 million sat channel capacity. And so he said 4 million. I'm inclined to agree with that. Although if you're just learning or just kind of want to like get a basic more understanding, it's okay to open up a smaller channels when you get started. So before you get going, there's a couple important things that you need to make sure you do. Your LND node also has a on-chain wallet component. So make sure you back up that seed phrase, put it in crypto steel or whatever you do, and store that securely. Because if you do have a failure, you're going to need that for recovery. And another secondary thing you're going to need is your channel backup file. This is pretty easy to find on the MyNode interface and the Umbral interface. You just download it. And what this is going to do is, if you have a failure of some kind and you restore from your seed phrase, you can also upload your channel backup. It's all part of the restore process on LND. It's fairly straightforward. But what that channel backup is going to do is it's going to actually force close all of your old channels and give all your money back to you on chain. So it destroys your node basically, but you get all your money back. So that's something to always... My rule of thumb on backing that up is, you know, I do it as often as possible, but whenever there's a change in your channels, like if you open up a couple new channels and they're confirmed and everything, go ahead and update your channel backup and save that file. It's just a TXT file, a few kilobytes. It's not a big file. Also consider using a universal power supply. Just in case you have a power outage or something. There was a time where a power outage sort of corrupted my hard drive on a Raspberry Pi. So I kind of recommend that, especially if you have a lot of capital in your Lightning nodes. So that's just a couple little tips there. And hell, we got more. That's right. you can also consider opening channels from CoinJoin UTXOs to enhance your privacy. And on satbase.org, there's a guide for opening multiple channels at the same time from an external wallet, which can also be really handy, especially if those funds are coin joined as well. So your Lightning public key is public, right? So and all of your public channels are public, and you need to have public channels, because public channels are the type of channels that you can forward and route payments from. And that's what our goal is. So if you tie your identity to your node, people will be able to see nearly everything about your node's capacity and channel state. And exchanges will also, until Taproot and that sort of, that new signature scheme kind of comes out, it's really, really obvious what transactions on the blockchain are Lightning opens, because they're a little bit bigger, because they're two of two multi-sig transactions, and that's how they'll show up. So just something to keep in mind, exchanges might notice that you are opening up Lightning channels, or will be strongly suspicious that you are doing that. Not saying that's a bad thing or anything, but just saying if they can do that, they can probably figure out what your node is. All right, and enough of the scary stuff. All right, so like I said earlier, this scenario is going to be, I've got 20 million sats and I want to open 10 2 million sat channels. I definitely recommend avoiding low sizes. Anything below 1 mil is kind of hard to maintain. If you're just doing it for educational purposes, go ahead and make it smaller. But for a routing node, I wouldn't recommend it. We don't want to worry about routing fees or anything like that. Our main goal is to maximize routing throughput and get data on our node and be able to see how the funds are moving. And that'll help us later on when we are, when we're trying to sort of like, because, you know, we don't have millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin, right? What I like to think of it is, like, you know, if the Lightning Network is a huge spider web, we're trying to make a little spider web off in the corner where we're doing kind of our own thing, but being really useful still. So we need data to do that. So that's why, even though our long-term goal is 20 channels, we only want to open up 7 to 10 for the first 10 days. And then the remaining 10 will be used with our own data. But those first 7 to 10, 1 ML is kind of my go-to, and I'm going to kind of switch to that. So if this doesn't work, just yell at me, but we're going to look at 1 ML real fast here. So for those of you that don't know about 1ml.com, it is basically a free resource where all the public information of the Lightning Network is sort of easily searchable and kept. And when you are looking to open up a channel, and when you're first starting, it's my recommendation that you tend to try to possibly avoid the really, really big nodes, such as Async or LNBig or that. You can totally open up channels with them and you'll absolutely do fine. But I think it's really important to be able to connect the lower capacity nodes together that are also high quality, because there's a lot of high quality, low capacity nodes out there. And this is one of them, in my opinion. So when you're looking at this, when I'm looking at this, I'm seeing he's got 20 channels with 1.11 Bitcoin capacity. I think that's like a really solid, you know, a solid plebe node, honestly. And I'm going through this kind of quick because I want to get to the Q&A. So, you know, jot down your questions if I skip anything or anything sounds weird. But when I'm on 1ML, the first thing my eye is going towards is the under the node rank area, under the QR pub key and socket availability, right? Lower is better. So out of, you know, there's some debate on how many active nodes there are. I think there's probably around 15,000. But the availability of public nodes, but the availability ranking, right? So anything under 1,000, I think, is probably okay. And anything under 500 is probably really good. And the reason why this is important is because you don't want to use your capital to open up a channel with another node that has a higher probability of going offline. Because if they go offline, your channel is effectively useless. And it's kind of a rule of thumb that the, you know, your node is only as good as the nodes that you're connected to. So that's very important to keep in mind. Now, if we scroll down a little bit on 1ML, it starts showing us their total public channels. And this is a lot of data. What the main thing that I'm looking for on this is the channel capacity of their node. If I'm planning on opening up a 2 million sat channel, I don't want to open up a channel with someone that has a bunch of 300,000 sat channels, because that's kind of a bottleneck. I can't get that full routing effect with a 2 million sat channel with opening up with someone that has a bunch of smaller channels. So I'm kind of looking, I'm kind of scrolling through the channels on and just kind of like looking at their capacity to get an idea if they're going to be able to handle the amount that I want to open with them. So for example, all these are like look really big. They do have a little bit higher fee rate. We could talk about that later, but it's not too big of a deal. And that's pretty much all I like to look at. After that, we can open up a channel with this string. And I recommend Thunderhub, which you can hit me up and we can talk about Thunderhub anytime. But I would go through 1ML and try to find 7 to 10 nodes similar to this. What you can do is if you like this one, under the node rank, there's a capacity ranking area and it shows, so this is who we're looking at. And it's showing who is like the top three, not top three, but it's like the closest three on both the higher and lower end to the capacity of what we're looking at. So what we could do is you could just click the next one up, right? Skim through it, see if you like it, and then hit the next one up. So like I automatically see this availability. I'm not too happy with that. So I'm going to click the next one. And honestly, this is probably the best way that I can think of for getting your first channels. Obviously, you can also go ask your friends. You can ask me. You can ask anyone that you know that is running a node and try to do a mutual channel open also. Okay, so that's pretty much it. After you get those 7 to 10 channels kind of going, what we want to do is all right, so we just went through the 1ML stuff. So I would avoid merchants and exchanges. And I wanted to emphasize that a little bit because if you think about it, the way that their nodes work is they are trying to get payments from other people, meaning the funds are only flowing in their direction. So if you open up a channel with them, your channel is likely to sort of drain from your local side to your remote side with them. And it's a little bit unlikely for the remote side to come back to the local side. So it's not really a balanced flowing sort of channel. They're still very useful for when you maybe when your node is established and you have a lot of remote, you can open up a big channel with Fold or Bit Refill or something. And you can actually increase the fees on that, your routing fees on that, and maybe scoop up more sats than you normally would because people are actually using those services. So there's strategies like that. But when you're first starting, I think it's really kind of important to find those high quality, but not as like crazy capacity routing nodes to connect to. All right, I'm going to take a sip of coffee here real quick and we'll talk about inbound. Okay. So now that we have our channels open, this is where the fun starts. So my sort of there's a couple of methods. I'm gonna start with a little bit more of a complicated one, and this one is actually really interesting. So Lightning Labs has a service called Loop, and Loop is effectively just you pay them and then they pay you what you pay them on chain. So if I open up a channel with Async, so say I have my 20 million sats and I open up a 20 million Satoshi channel with Async, and I say Async because that's the biggest node on the network. It's the one where what we're about to do is the most likely chance to succeed. So we can open up that 20 million sat channel with Async, and then we can loop out, say, 18 million of it, meaning, you know, we start with a 20 million on the local side and zero on the remote side. And by looping out, we now have 2 million on the local side, 18 million on the remote side, and then the loop service sends us that 18 million back on chain. Now we have this really big remote side channel for us, and we got 18 million sats back on chain. We can open up our 2 million sat channels now, and we got a real good chunk of remote liquidity. And this is important, and I bring it up first because this is what you do before you open up any other channel. So just something to keep in mind. There's a lot of really neat little tricks like that, but I really think that this is a useful one to get your first remote liquidity. Now, Loop does take a little bit of fee off the top, but I think it's a good deal personally. And we could talk about that a little bit later. So your pros are lots of inbound liquidity right at the start. Your cons are your Loop fee and possible Loop failure. Sometimes the loop node doesn't have the liquidity for it. So sometimes you have to try, you know, the next day or something. Recently Loop bought a 2 million, two Bitcoin channel from someone, through Pool for their own liquidity, which was pretty cool. All right. So we get easier ways here. So you can hit up the community, tweet out something like an example there. I think that, I think it's important that you have your initial channels open first before you start asking the community to open up a channel with you. Mainly because I think for serious routing nodes, I think a lot of us wouldn't mind opening up a channel with a new routing node. But we kind of want to see where your channels are first and what your sizes are, because we don't want to put capital into that unless we think it's going to be worth it. So a lot of people, they go to Twitter or whatever and they say, hey, I started a new node. Here's my pub key. Please open a channel. It's like, it's more better to kind of have a make it seem like you're kind of taking it a little bit seriously and just kind of like explain a little bit how you're going about it. I think that goes a long way. And there's Telegram groups, there's Twitter, there's Reddit. And I think that this method will actually get you a couple channels, which would be really good for getting your initial inbound. And the other way is Lightning Pool. You can go to Lightning Terminal, which is now on Mynode and Umbral, and I can demo here in a little bit. And you can actually just ask the community through a blind auction to open up a channel with you. And a pool channel is can be open up perpetually, but after 2016 blocks right now, the one who opened it up with you can close it down. So in that time frame, you can actually use a self-payment rebalancing technique, which is in RTL and ThunderHub, to move those funds out of that channel that you got from pool to your other channels before they close. So that's another option on that. There's also a lot more, there's still a lot of big services out there that you can buy channels from. There's lightning2.me. I think Ellen Biggs still does it. But I personally think that these newer ways are a little bit more, I don't know. There's a little bit more for me, I guess. But you can look into those other ones and we could talk about that too. Okay, we're almost finishing up here. I just want to say don't get obsessive compulsive about your channel balance. In a perfect world, each channel would be 50-50, but I think the overall balance of your node is much more important, meaning the total of your local ratioed to the total of your remote is a little bit more important than just balancing out each channel. So don't get too worried about that. Yeah, if you want to spend an hour a week trying to find good deals on rebalancing, meaning you're paying yourself in and out of your channels, feel free. Just remember that by doing that, you are sending a payment out into the network, and thus you could be paying routing fees to other nodes before the payment comes back. So after you're happy with all that, you can just kind of wait, and we're going to get some data. After a few weeks, we're just going to use, so this goes into sort of the intermediate stuff, and you guys can hit me up on Twitter or whatever to talk more about it after you get to this point, but there's some really cool tools. There's a balance of Satoshis tool, which is what Alex Bosworth made, that makes rebalancing and probing the network really, really easy to try to find, other nodes out there that have sort of an affinity with yours. For example, there's a command on there that actually shows the nodes that your node has been forwarding payments to, but you don't have a channel open with them yet. So they might be a good peer to open up a channel with in the future. So there's a lot more data to kind of decide what a good node to open up a channel with would be outside of 1ML. That 1ML is just like when you're first starting, it's your best bet. So a little bit of further reading, if you're curious, Bitcoin Q&A and OpenOms have amazing guides. Bitcoiner.guide/lightning is a little bit more basic. And then OpenOms Lightning Node Management on Gitbook is really, 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 really good. So I recommend that. Also, there's a team of over 100 contributors working on the Lightning Network, Mastering the Lightning Network book on GitHub. And I think they've got four or five chapters done now, and that's all open source. So you can check that out. That is it, and that's my info. Thanks, guys.
Awesome, dude. That was a lot of information and a lot of good tips for people out there. Guys, do you have any questions?
I have a quick question.
Shoot it.
Hit me.
This is like more of like it's maybe slightly off topic question from your presentation, but like how important do you think it is to run a Lightning node at this time going into the new bull run with the fees of Bitcoin spiking? And how crucial of a role do you think having a Lightning node and using Lightning is going to play as we go, higher and higher in price?
Yeah, for sure. So there's going to be a couple different type of people that I think are going to be using Lightning, right? You've got the real enthusiasts, like you guys are already running Mynode and Umbral and Embassy. You guys are the enthusiasts. You guys are the ones that have the node. And you can open up multiple channels and connect to it remotely and do all this stuff. And I think that having your node sort of have some channels, you don't have to have a lot of channels, but just having some channels and having that sort of ready, you're boosting your availability reputation and you're boosting your age reputation, which is going to be huge because reputation is the name of the game in the Lightning sort of node competition, right? And I think that just getting that started and just kind of sitting on it might be a good idea, especially as more and more products come out, layer three, layer four stuff that are going to be sitting on Lightning, like RGB and all this, there's so much, and it's so much more complicated than even I can really articulate right now. But like my goal is like, I want to be ready, right? I want to be ready when that stuff comes out, because I want to participate. When Pool came out, I was there. I was there day one, right? Because I had my node ready and I was ready to go. I didn't even know that was coming. But it came and I was like, sweet, let's go. Where a lot of people were like, crap, and they were playing catch up, right? So I think that's important. And then there's going to be other people that just want to use it as a consumer wallet, right? And that's going to be perfect too. And I think Breeze and Blue Wallet and maybe some of these other wallets are going to be using Pool in a sort of roundabout way by using people like me or you or someone else that are trying to sell their liquidity to open up, and they're going to use us to open up channels with their customers maybe. So that's kind of really exciting too. So that's kind of what I'm looking for in sort of the next 12 to 24 months. Hopefully with Taproot, we're going to see some better, on-chain privacy when it comes to Lightning, but that's kind of what I'm looking forward to going forward.
Nice. Thank you.
Anyone else? Christopher, I know you got a question, dude.
I do. Anyway. Let's see. I know you've been like doing some consulting and helping folks out, like setting up routing nodes from the get-go. And I was curious, what's your favorite analogy to explain like liquidity to people that may not be familiar with it?
Honestly, it's been kind of so I'm just gonna dox my node real quick. It doesn't matter because it's all public anyway. But like when I talk to them as like I don't know, I feel like color has like really done something. So like when I'm explaining Thunderhub, it's like the blue side is the money that you have and the remote side is the green side, the money that you're the person you have your channel open with. And when you kind of, when you send a payment out, it goes both ways. It's like a debit credit accounting system, right? And then it can come back in the other way. So they get a fee and you get a fee kind of thing. I try to avoid analogies a little bit, but the hibiscus is really good. I've been using the colors a lot. People kind of pick up on that. And then there's Ellen Guide. I like to use this sort of chart, kind of like really sort of outlines it. I'm kind of like going beyond your question a little bit, but it's like helping explain that each of these is a channel, right? Like Bob has two channels here. Like to route, you need two channels, right? He has a channel with Alice and he has a channel with Carol. That is the route. So he accepts the 10,002, keeps one, and then sends 10,001 to Karam. So that's been helping people a lot, sort of visualize how the routing works, because I think that's tough to wrap your head around when you're starting. But that helps a lot. And
so in this example, Alice and Dan actually can't route any payments because they only have one channel.
Correct. Yes. So Alice doesn't need any green or remote side in this scenario, and Dan doesn't need any blue side or local side in this scenario, but Bob and Carol need a little bit of both to do the route. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
I got a question
for you.
Can you
hear me?
Oh, yeah. Shoot it.
Wait, go ahead.
All right. So Nate, in your experience, how much work or how much time do you think someone needs to commit to having a good Lightning node?
So I think that there's a couple things there. When you're first starting, that first 30 days, that's probably when you're going to be the most sort of active kind of with it. And most of your time is going to be spent hunting down that remote liquidity, I think. Once you kind of get that 15, 20 channels going, you can run those rebalance commands. I have an example here. Can you guys see this? I know this looks like a bunch of gibberish, but basically it's just a command saying, hey, I want to rebalance, right? And so it's saying, okay, well, we can rebalance from this channel to this channel this much for this much fee, right? And you know, you could just run this maybe an hour a week or something like that. That's pretty much all I do. That's why I say that. I really don't, like, you can look at my node here. All the channels are not perfectly balanced. You know, I'm totally okay with that. And I'm still routing 314 routes over the last 30 days. So it's still doing really well. So I honestly don't think too much. Now, if you're working with pool, we can go into the pool user interface here. So you just fill in the boxes pretty much, and you put in your order, and you can just kind of watch it and maybe check in on it once a day. And what will happen is, instead of it going from open, so I have like an open order right now, but if you go to the filled area, it'll show you what you have. You know, you just keep an eye on that. When it reaches maturation, you can just you can just close it down, that sort of thing. So that's really all I'm doing. Maybe if I think that my overall node's local balance is a little bit too much compared to my remote balance, I'll look into doing a loop out to sort of remove some of that local liquidity. But overall, it's really not that babysitting intensive, I don't think. I think that a lot of people get freaked out with the whole, oh gosh, I need to spend hours rebalancing and all that. And I don't think that's the case. You can do that as much or as little as you really like. If you're seeing forwarded transactions, meaning that you're routing other people's payments, then your node's active and it's good, and you probably don't need to babysit it that much. So that was kind of a little bit of a long-winded answer, but I wanted to go in a little bit of detail on that.
That's perfect.
Question?
Shoot it, Jim.
Yeah. So Nate, on a different platform, we were talking, and I probably know about how much money you have in Lightning, but I don't need you to tell me. But I'm just curious, percentage-wise, do you have a sense of what your return is for the Bitcoin you have locked up? And another question would be, what do you think is a reasonable amount of Bitcoin to commit to a Lightning node, mm-hmm. and, you know, being split up between X amount of other nodes that you would think is really worth it to be a routing node, to where, you know, you're going to commit X amount of Bitcoin, you're going to do all this work, but the returns over a long enough period of time will end up making it worth it. And then, of course, you're right in the Lightning Network, which helps you make your own payments all day long. So right, about how much do you think it should be on average if a person, you know, not everybody has the same amount of Bitcoin, obviously, but if you were going to try and be like a reasonably good node on the network, say, I would say you'd need a lot of liquidity and a fair amount of channels. So how much would you think would be, and then what do you think your percentage return is as a routing node so far, if you know?
Yeah, no, that's cool. So again, this is totally like opinion based. You know, everyone will have sort of a different answer or whatever. But I think putting between half a Bitcoin to a Bitcoin, I know that's a lot in channels though, is going to set you up for massive success.
That's good. Massive success. You need, 25 to 50 grand worth of commitment. A lot of people could never do that. But moderate success, quarter of a Bitcoin, right. a tenth of a Bitcoin, you can still do it, right?
I'm getting to that. So on the
Go to the other end. What's the minimum a person could reasonably expect? Otherwise, it's just not worth it. It's not worth the trade-offs, too much work.
So I don't think it's ever not worth it. I strongly believe that it's okay to just open up a couple million sat channels and just kind of hang with it. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's actually maybe eventually in the future, you'll want to open more. And that's good too. But like just to get kind of started is important because your node's age and availability reputation is already going up. Your other metrics might not be, but that's kind of an important thing.
That helps though. The reputation thing is going to matter in this system, isn't it?
What's that?
The reputation for your node is going to matter, for everybody that's viewing the system. I saw your screen share and I could see a lot of the tracking metrics, and I understand, you can't be dropping channels, closing channels on people, randomly and causing fees. You're going to get blacklisted, right? I mean, I'm not sure how that works, but
there's a lot of metrics on there right now, and a lot of them are a little bit hidden, but we know like the primary ones, stuff like online time, because you got to be online for that. And
you were showing where you're looking at the other channels trying to decide if you should open them. So that's like sort of your channel broadcasts similar information. So you want it to look good. So you want to have uptime and you want to have a good enough size channel and whatever else. So people are like, oh, this looks like a good one. So that's why I was getting like, I was kind of wondering for like, I don't have a lightning.
There was a guy on the score list, which means tier one, which means they could do pool. He had 0.33 Bitcoins in his 15 channels and he made it to tier one because his channels were good quality.
Wouldn't you say also that if you started with just a couple million sats, which is not that much, as the value goes up, your liquidity ultimately is growing, right?
Yes,
because you would need to move less sats for every transaction. So therefore you literally have more liquidity in every channel you set up. So that makes you a stronger node just by starting it now and then having it 3 years from now when the price of Bitcoin's $1 million or something.
Completely agree. I think the people that aren't opening up channels because they're like, well, I don't want to put too much in or anything like that. And this whole talk was kind of about people that kind of really want to dive in, right? But if you're someone that just kind of wants to experiment, try it out and kind of like just open up a few channels and maybe make some payments to BitRefill, buy some gift cards, or kind of use Sphinx or whatever. I highly encourage that. I think that the first steps down that rabbit hole are the toughest, and then you're just going to learn a lot after that.
I think I know the answer to this question, but just to verify, having a custodial Lightning wallet like Blue Wallet is not even close to the same. You're just using their channels. You have like an account with them. There's probably a trust issue. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I mean it's a very convenient platform, but you're not really using Lightning per se in the way that I'm kind of referring to it.
That's what I thought. It's like an onboarding thing for a person who doesn't want to set up Lightning channels and do it.
Yeah, and there's going to be a huge market for that. So people like Blue Wallet are going to want to use Lightning Pool to buy channels from people like me, right?
That's interesting. So that's okay. Cool. Thanks for saying that. That's interesting to know.
For their customers,
because not everybody's going to be on Lightning with their own channels. It's just never going to be that way. But there will be. Well, let's hope there's lots of them, including guys like us. And it's, 5, 10, 20 years from now, we could be very important to the worldwide network because we got it set up early when, 20 years from now, a lot of people will just never be able to, maybe. You never know.
Yeah, I think that's
I hope that's never the case. But we're already seeing potential issues like, the high fees the last couple of weeks, if you were either trying to open or had to close channels, you know, it could get pretty expensive. And then I was listening to it. Might have been Matt O'Dell was saying how if your channel size is already too small, you could close it out and lose everything mm-hmm. to the miners because you just didn't have enough yep. sats there. Like, that's not a good thing. So, yep. you know, well, this balancing act that you sort of talk about, it's still in the early stages of like sort of being figured out what's the best balance between channels and between all these different things that we've been talking about. It sounds right. like to me, but it's great that you guys are doing it. It's great that you do presentations like this. I learned new stuff tonight. Thank you very much. I don't want to take up the whole night. I'm sure other people have questions.
Anytime.
Thank you for answering mine.
All right. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Basically, well, also if you can answer like the percent return, that's like pretty average. But mm-hmm. other than that, are there any risks of like losing your coin by providing liquidity? Like, are there any potential risks?
So the way it's set up, I assume you're talking about pool specifically?
No, just in general, like just participating yeah. in Lightning. Like, is there any chance of somebody ever losing their Bitcoin?
Gotcha.
By doing something like the wrong way?
So, you know, it's all, nothing is risk-free or whatever, right? So there could be hidden bugs or that sort of stuff. The main is for, and I think Jessifer can opine on this a little bit if you would like to hop in, but your sats aren't just going to disappear, right? They're, you know, if there's a route where like your local side is decreased, that means one of your other channels picked up that amount. Right. It's always going to stay in balance like that. There's not going to be any sort of taking. I know that I bring that up because I've talked to people that kind of freaks them out. They're like, hey, open up this channel and now it's less. What happened? It's like, oh, well, you forwarded a payment. Look in one of your other channels and you'll see that side increased. Oh, okay. And sort of that's like the balancing out part. Still today, probably the biggest attack sort of vector, which isn't really even that big of a deal anymore, in my opinion, is when you're offline and your peer is a bad actor and can broadcast an old channel state into the system and force close the channel and tell the network that they have the funds and you don't, and you're not online to verify if what they're broadcasting is true. And that's tough. There's a sort of kind of a fix called Watchtower, which I'll go into detail only if you ask me to. But it basically, you know, watches your nodes sort of, it records your nodes channel states. And then if someone tries to broadcast something that doesn't match up, it's going to punish them. So that's like a solution for that specific attack vector. And there's a few other sort of possible sort of DDoS type stuff that might break your node, but you're never going to actually lose your funds in that I can think of. I want Jessifer to hop in if he's around and provide some more detail on that if he could, because that's not really
much. Sure. Yeah. I think a lot about the risks and how to price those. I think, let's see, of course there's protocol risk. So, I mean, same with Bitcoin. Yes, there's a risk of like an inflation bug or something, but you know, as Bitcoin gets older, you know, that risk diminishes, and similarly for the Lightning Network. But there are some like additional risks on top of that. So one is just the risk that you're going to, you know, make a poor allocation decision. So you're going to open a channel to like a node that is just not good at routing. And so that's going to be a cost that you have to bear because, you know, you've got a chain fee to open the channel and then you have a chain fee to close the channel. And so that costs you real sats. And then there's also a forced close risk, which is part of the protocol. So that would be a time when you and your channel peer don't agree at, you know, what the balance is of your shared channel. And so that that's going to be a rushed payment that you're going to be making on chain. And so that is a risk that is somewhat unpredictable. And part of that has to do with protocol, and some of that has to do with your decisions as a node operator. So people do lose money, but for the most part, these are like active decisions that are just
right.
They're expensive decisions, but the only way that you really get to understand that is to practice it. And so, like right now, a forced close might cost you like $20 now,
like 40,000 sats, something like that, maybe.
Yeah. So you definitely want to try and avoid those whenever possible, and the best way is to mitigate that is just to have a line of communication open with your channel peers, especially when you're getting started, so that you can figure out those issues. They're like, why is my balance changing? Some of those other things that Nate mentioned.
If you've got friends and, us and you want to, open up a channel, you have a communication with that person. If you could do that, totally do it. My channels are pretty much all anonymous. I think I only know three people that I have channels with. But to answer your sort of like income sort of yield kind of question, for my node, my personal node specifically, everyone's a little bit different. Like, I really don't want to like make my node sort of like the pinnacle of whatever. And the thing is too, is my sort of yield, I haven't calculated it against all of the fees I've paid on chain and off chain, see like what my profit or whatever actually is. I think it's important to keep your eye sort of on the future of what could be, more than what you can make right now, especially if you don't have a lot of capital to start with. If you've got 20 Bitcoins to start with, you could pretty much have your finger in every pie out there in the Lightning Network right now. Alex Bosworth does that with his Yulz nodes, and he makes thousands of dollars worth of sats a month. But for me personally, I've been actually doing a lot better with pool than I have with routing fees. This month, I've got about 700,000 sats, leasing out 2 Bitcoins worth of pool funds, and maybe about 50,000 sats in routing fees, with about 2 Bitcoins of liquidity in that. So, percentage wise, it's like, but APR is like 8% on that. And the thing about pool right now too, is there's a lot more people trying to lease liquidity than there is trying to buy liquidity. That's going to be changing though. There's some cool updates that are going to be happening to pool to sort of increase the liquidity of the people trying to buy channels. And one of them is called sidecar channels, which sort of uses pool on someone else's behalf to open up a channel with them. So that'll be cool. But I hope that helps.
Yeah. I have one more question if there's time.
Shoot it.
Basically, I heard like Strike, for instance, runs their own like private channels. So can you like go into the whole private channel thing and kind of like expand on it if possible?
So, yeah, I mean, someone else can jump in if I say something dumb here. But it's my understanding that they just have a insane amount of, like you said, private channels that the network can't easily see unless they start paying into the public network, then it could be a little bit more visible. But being private means that they're not routing the public network's transactions or anything. And the reason, because what they're doing, I mean, so I'm assuming you're talking about the international remittance part of it. If you're just talking about the paying your invoice for you part of it, that might be a little bit different. But the international remittance part of it is they're just flushing funds around their private channels in geographically different locations to, sort of as a payment rail for going on or off ramp the local fiat currency, which is kind of cool. But yeah, it's probably lots and lots of Bitcoins in their channels to do that. But I'm not exactly sure how the app itself. I'm pretty sure they've got public. I don't know if they have public nodes or not actually. But if they do, it might not be it might not be called Strike, right? It might be, yeah, they might just be doing an anonymous node. I'm not sure. But there's definitely no public node called Strike that we can open up a channel with, it looks like.
Cool.
Yeah, for the most part, the private channels that Strike maintains, they don't really interact with the rest of the network so much because for the most part, like, they're paying other Strike customers. So that doesn't really need to enter into the broader Lightning network. But if you're paying, for example, like your own node or another person that is selling something via Lightning and you can pay that via Strike, that's when Strike and the rest of the public Lightning network are going to interact. And so that's when, you know, Strike would be paying some routing fees to go through like our nodes.
Right. Like a good example is if I was onboarding my mom or something onto Phoenix Wallet, which I wouldn't do, but I'm just as an example, that node, that channel that they're going to be opening up with async or whatever, that's going to be a private channel because there's no purpose in that being a public channel. They're not trying to route or anything. So if you're not trying to route, then you should be opening private channels, which is what the standard sort of customer spending based channel will likely be.
Awesome, dude. Well,
yeah, man.
I think you gave the plebs out there a lot of knowledge to think about when they're trying to get their Lightning node up. So, yeah, man. We thank you for coming out. Actually, plug your Twitter and where people can find you, and then we'll wrap this one up.
Yeah. So I'm at Beef, like the meat Beef or Bacon, and then just the number one at the end on Twitter, and that's pretty much where I hang out and do my shit posting and whatever. And I'm also on coinbeast.com as one of their so you can book a one-on-one and we can chat through any specific needs or concerns one-on-one. I just joined them recently. I'm pretty excited about it, and hopefully I'll be making some more content soon. I'm hoping to make some videos about this stuff also. So, but that's about it. I'm on Twitter. DMs are open.
Awesome, dude. Thank you. Well, we'll be looking out for those videos that you make.
Sounds good.
All right. Peace out, guys. Thanks for listening.